This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM
89.9. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. Hello and welcome to Beyond Performance, where we have candid conversations with high-performing people from all walks of life and distill actionable lessons we can take away to perform a little better every single day. I'm your host, Dana Bluen, and today I speak with Jib Chanawongsah, the creative entrepreneur behind Knit by Jib, a platform to teach people basic to advanced knit and crochet techniques. Here in the first part, we discuss Jib's background as a scientist and why she left her career in nutrition research to pursue craft full-time. And later on, we'll dive into how she applies the scientific method to her design process. Let's get into it. Jib, thank you for taking the time to join me in the studio today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So you run the company Knit by Jib. You're the founder of Knit by Jib. That's your company. Can you tell the listeners exactly what you do there, what Knit by Jib is, and all the different things that you do?
Knit by Jib is about knitting and crochet to make like a wearable piece or doll. Mm-hmm. So the first, when I start, I do amigurumi. Okay. It's a crochet doll. It's a small crochet doll. It's a Japanese word for that.
Okay.
Which is like, I started when I was young. I love it. But like, well, here people will like it, thing that you can wear.
Mm.
So I start to learn more about knitting or crochet for a wearable piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then to start my business, I think about, well, people who like live far away, they don't have a chance to learn. Then I start to make the platform that I can teach people how to knit and crochet wherever they live.
So how do you do that? What is the platform, online, or what's the methodology?
Well, it's all about online. So I film it,
mm-hmm,
and post it on YouTube or on my own page. So like fans can come and watch a video and learn from home.
So do you have a background in design? Like, did you go to design school?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Okay, so this is just your craft that you've done. Like you said, you've done it since you were a kid. How'd you get into it?
It's like, I always like handcraft. Okay. I try many things, almost everything that that we can find it here in Bangkok.
Yeah.
When I was young. So summer break, that's my fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Try everything. And then I learned crochet from my mom, like basic. So then I found amigurumi book in a store and I fall in love with it.
Okay.
So I start from that. And I kind of learn by myself from the book that I cannot read because it's all Japanese.
So did you do anything before you started this as your business, or was this your first job?
No, actually, my job is about science.
Oh.
Well, I graduate bachelor.
Yep.
Science, yes. And then took a master program. It's nutrition and dietetics, which mean actually I'm a dietitian.
Okay. So you're a dietitian. And how did you end up becoming a full-time crafter? What made you dive into entrepreneurship and start your own business?
Well, I have to say craft is my passion.
Okay.
But I can do well in science too. Mm. So I think, okay, the master program that I study is interesting. I work in hospital for a bit and then become a research assistant for nutrition department. And it's a good time, but to go further, you have to study more, spend your time everything to study, to read, to write paper, which is, I think that's not what I have passion for.
Mm.
So I think about like, okay, I want to do craft, but to make piece for sale, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I spend time after work in university, 8 hours a day, I make like small piece to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And here, as it's Thailand, of course, people not value it. Like when they see, oh, it's a small keychain, it's nice, but it's small. So 20 baht.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
So they don't attach the value of your time or your craft to the piece. It's just based on the size. This is what you were seeing.
Yes, based on the size. And this is like what I can like feel from here. It's like people would think it's easy to make.
Mm.
But people who say, oh, it's look easy to make, don't pay for that. Who's going to pay 500 baht for a keychain? Those type of person will never finish any piece by themselves. I saw many say that to me, and they never show photo of finished piece.
Mm.
Mm.
So those experiences sort of pushed you away from the side of the market to sell goods.
Yes.
And how did you come up with the idea to teach online, to find people, to make information available for people in a faraway area?
Well, for first start, it's about like I saw the project that people invite newbie to knit a hat for donation for people who live in the north, which is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter. But like for the newbie, they don't understand what is cast on, what is knit or purl. And it's just like half day afternoon that you cannot finish it. You cannot finish a simple hat in like 3 hours. Cannot.
Mm.
So some come from like suburb. Some come from like other province, which is they have good intention. They want to help, but that's not enough time for them to finish. And like when they go back home, how can they finish that hat, right? Mm. So I got the idea from that day, like, oh, what if, okay, I make video and they can learn from home. And when they finish the hat, they can send it to people who need it.
Mm.
Mm, so that's the like kind of the first idea of like, oh, I should make a video before I develop it to a real business.
So it's kind of like this seed of just wanting to help people complete a project for charity. And that sort of somehow snowballed into your business.
Yes.
It's interesting that, you know, they invited people who didn't know how to knit and crochet to make a hat, but didn't think to teach them to make the hat.
Well, there's a volunteer who know how to knit, like many volunteers, but that's not enough. Like not enough teacher who can teach. And like, well, you know, understanding and skill, like hand skill, everyone different.
That's true. It must take dexterity and coordination that you have to develop to knit or crochet very well.
Yes. So it takes time. It cannot be like 3 hours, you know how to make a hat. That's impossible. Unless you have like basic already, which is that if you have basic, that's possible. But then you don't need me to help you to finish the piece.
Interesting. And it seems that I've seen your website and your Facebook. You've really built a community around your content on Facebook and YouTube. It seems people really engage. That crafting community, that space seems to be very passionate about learning and making. Do you feel that in their interactions with the community that you've built?
Yes. Well, I have to say, like, it's very interesting that a lot of people here in Thailand, in a hot country, they like to knit sweater.
That is interesting.
Yes. They want to learn like, okay, many style of sweater. Mm. But of course, we can travel anywhere.
Yeah.
Like can go enjoy winter in South Korea, Japan.
Yeah.
You know, some maybe go to Europe or America. So they knit here and wear there.
Yeah. That's very possible. I mean, just because you love, you know, warm clothes or making warm clothes doesn't necessarily mean that you can't wear them. You know, you can travel or do whatever. Yeah. It is a funny hobby to be popular in a tropical country, though. You're right. Now, we're going to take a quick break, Jib. And when we come back, I want to dive into your methods and practice for design and creating the patterns and the designs that you teach to people and what that process looks like for you. So we'll be right back. Coming up after the break, Jib discusses her creative workflow process and how it was influenced by her time working in scientific research. You're listening to 89.9, The Business Station.
Bold, fearless, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
We're back with Jib Chanawangsa. She's the founder of Knit by Jib, a full-time crafter who teaches people how to knit and crochet wearable items, dolls, all different types of things. And so, Jib, thank you again for being here with us.
Thank you.
So I want to dive into your methods and practice, because ultimately that's what this show is about. What are the methods and practice that set aside a high performer in their area like you from others? And one of the things that stood out to me when I looked at your portfolio, like your Instagram, your Facebook, is the quality of design that goes into your pieces. There's a lot of things that you put out there that are just incredibly well designed and made. The craftsmanship of your work is fantastic. So what is your design process? What does it take to go from idea to class for your business?
It's kind of long process.
Okay, well, walk us through it if you don't mind.
Okay, so to start from zero,
yep.
Like you have to think what you want to make first. Like, is it blanket? Is it sweater? Is it hat, scarf, shawl, or summer blouse? Yeah. You have to know first what you want to make. You draw like, let's say if it's like a summer blouse, you want it loose or you want it fit to your body shape. So draw it on a paper to get an idea. And then when you know what piece you want to make, then you can choose like the yarn type. Because for knitting, let's say for people who never knit, they will feel like, any yarn, just pick it and you can knit it. Which is also true and not true.
So how so?
It's like, yes, you can knit it or you can crochet any type of yarn. I can knit spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, spaghetti.
If you just cook spaghetti, I can knit it.
Oh.
But is it wearable? No.
Not for long.
Not for long, of course. But like there are many types of yarn in the world. You have to know like the material.
Mm.
Is it like acrylic or wool or a mix of acrylic and wool? Or is it like a plant fiber? There are many types of plant fiber, like cotton, bamboo. So like you have to know like, okay, first you want to know, you know what type of piece you want to make. Like, okay, summer blouse. Mm-hmm. Then the next step, you choose your yarn.
So you're picking the yarn based on the properties of the yarn?
Yes.
Okay.
Like if you want to make summer blouse, that means it should be airy, light, not hot, right?
Yeah.
But if you choose wool, is it the right answer or not?
I would normally think of wool as being a winter fiber, like a wool sweater.
Correct. So when you want to make summer blouse, you have to pick like either cotton or bamboo or mix up cotton bamboo or mix up something, but wool is not a choice.
Okay.
So that's the difference. Like from experienced knitter and beginner that just like, okay, go to the mall, grab a yarn, but they forget to read like what's in there.
Or maybe they don't even know the difference yet. If they're a new yeah. knitter, yeah.
You have to read to know like it's step.
Maybe it comes with experience too. Like you know
yes.
you know how warm wool is gonna be if you've mm-hmm. never knitted it before, or you know, the cotton, like you said, bamboo. I didn't even know they made bamboo yarn. So that's surprising to me. So, you know, I'm learning something new here. So after you pick the medium, after you mm-hmm. pick the yarn, the material, what comes next?
So then you will like decide what technique you're going to use. Like it's a top down, bottoms up. You need the seam or no seam. You need sleeve or sleeveless. You need like airy or like, you know, if you need like airy, you need like lace style.
Okay.
That's more like detail. So you see like you have to start from the first step to go further.
Mm.
You cannot like just skip any step. Mm-hmm.
So this step, you're looking at the technique. You said top down, bottom up. Is that what you said? Seams or no seams?
Yeah.
And then to make it airy, is that a different type of knitting or a different type of crochet?
Different type of a stitch
okay.
that you use. You want it fit or you want it loose. So many options, many like the style that you can select from the technique. Like you might find a book that like have everything in it, but you must read it all.
Mm.
Mm.
So you're going through, you know a lot of these techniques already. And so now you're planning your piece. You've got your piece, your style, then you've got your yarn, your yarn type,
mm-hmm.
your techniques.
Yes.
What comes next?
Then you start to knit as what you think. Like you think this stitch, this yarn,
mm-hmm.
Make it just like prototype.
Okay.
To see is it look like what you draw in the paper.
Mm.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, which is... It's sad, but then...
That's what a prototype is for, though, right?
Yes. Before, like, you can release your pattern, you have to test it first. It cannot just be calculation in the paper and say it is must like this. It no, cannot happen. Well, let's say it never happened to me.
Mm.
I have to try. Sometimes try it many times.
I was just about to ask, how many iterations of your prototype are there, usually?
Let's say if it's easy piece, like flat one, like blanket or shawl, it might be one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky. No, I would say it's experience. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But if it's...
I like that. It's not luck, it's experience.
Yes,
right?
It's experience. It's true.
You've earned it. You've worked for it.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. But if it's like sweater with a complicated design... It can be like three times before you can think like, this is perfect.
Mm.
Mm.
Now, how important is that to get to perfect or just good enough? I mean, because you're teaching these pieces, like, is perfection always your goal with each piece?
Yes, because like I want to teach the best thing.
Mm.
If it's just okay, why would I teach people?
Mm-hmm.
It should be perfect. At least for me, for my idea, I think this one perfect. Then I write a pattern.
Yeah.
Then I make a video. Then I release. If it's not perfect, I'm not going to release it. So sometimes I have to reshoot all the video because the light is not.
So even
nice.
A detail like that, like you don't like the light, it's going to hamper the project.
Or my voice, like... I knit and I speak and I cough and then that's done.
Hmm.
Reshoot.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does it take you? How many days from like the start of your process until like you get to the end of the design process for yourself?
Start from zero.
Yeah.
To the end that Lily's video
yeah.
and pattern. We don't talk about days, we talk about weeks and months.
Really?
Yes.
So one piece could be months.
Yes, it depends on the size. Because think about this, like if you make sweater,
yeah,
it's long sleeve, right? Every stitch that you see, you have to knit by your hand one by one stitch.
Mm.
It's different. It's time that you have to make each stitch, each row. So can you imagine how many stitches per sweater? I never count, but that's a lot.
I can imagine it being a lot, especially a larger size.
Yes.
So I,
just so you know,
months.
I knit XXXL cardigan before with the lace yarn weight, which is very small and light. That take time.
How long did that take you?
I can't remember exactly how long, because I knit and I take a break, do something, and I come back to knit. But it's months, because I knit and I calculate and recalculate and sometimes have to redo some part. Mm. So that take time.
So with, let me ask you this then. Are you always working on just one project at a time, or do you have maybe multiple projects in different phases?
Well, have to admit that I have multiple projects at a time, because sometimes when you do something like knit one piece too long and you feel like your fingers tired, like you change to other thing. So like maybe switch to crochet or embroidery. So it's help, like take a break. Like when you work with computer too long, you said, oh, I need to rest my eye. You stand up, you walk, you get coffee, take a break, right?
Yeah.
So for me, take a break is like, okay, put this piece down and get other piece to do.
Yeah, I really like your methodology of design, that you have a process in place. I think that's so important. I see this over and over again with people who are high performers, who are at the top of their game, is that they have processes in place to complete something, to accomplish what they want. They know the steps that need to be taken and they stick to it. Is that something you've always done, or did you figure that out along the way? Where did that come from in your work life?
Well, I think to think process, like step by step, I would say I would get it from science lab.
Oh. So it came from science.
Yes, because it's like, I think it's the same fundamental.
The
like,
scientific method, yeah.
Because you have to start from, like the lab, you start from zero. And they will have instruction to follow. You have to follow exact what they say to get the result that they want, right? That's what I learned from science, to be a science student.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I'm an engineer by training. I have a master's in ICT and network engineering. And I've interviewed over the years many CEOs who were previous engineers. And a lot of them take a lot of lessons from their engineering life. And the same for scientists as well. You know, there's a lot of overlap there. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and like when I work, As I mentioned, I was a research assistant. That's even more, you have to plan it well, because sometimes when you go for a data collection, as I work with a human subject, so you have to make it right at the first time. You cannot redo it. So you have to plan it very well.
Very well. Yeah, it's that regimented life. It's interesting, because I think a lot of people assume creativity and regiment don't always live side by side, but you're clearly, you know, an example that says that's not the case, because you have a very regimented methodology, but you produce some very creative work.
Yes, I think it's a benefit of to be a science student.
Very well, maybe. So as we wrap up here, Jib, and I thank you for your time. If you had one bit of advice that you could give to someone who's considering jumping into a creative entrepreneur endeavor, wanting to start their own creative business, something similar, what would be your one suggestion to them if you could tell them anything?
Do what you have passion for. That's important because you will never get tired from it. Mm-hmm. You want to wake up every day, work on it. But more than that, just passion is not enough. You have to have plan for it. Like, what you're going to really do with that to make money. Mm-hmm. You have to have, like, plan, like, well plan before you start, like, before you quit your job to start a business that is new for you and it's not what you graduate. So, passion and well plan, I would say.
Great advice. Thank you so much for your time, Jib. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Beyond Performance on BFM 89.9, the business station. In this episode, we spoke with Jib Chanawongsaw, the arts and crafts entrepreneur behind Knit by Jib. We discussed her long love of craft and how she eventually made the shift from being a scientist to making and teaching knit and crochet full time. If you missed any of this conversation, you can find it on our website, bfm.my, our BFM app, and of course, on Spotify. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.